Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which is brought to you every Friday night here on KCRW. And the program you're about to hear is a rebroadcast of an old program that I did originally back in 1984. And it's something that every time I play, I get lots and lots of requests for copies of it. So if you think it's the sort of thing that you might be interested in, I recommend you get your tapes going now, because I don't want to hear about it. The program is called Shrink Wrap, and it has to do with psychology and psychiatry. And it is, as I remarked before, it is sort of amazing that psychiatry and psychology, which is basically something that people only undergo when they are really, really unhappy, should be such a wonderful source of humor. But indeed it is, and we'll be hearing some terrific comedy from the likes of Nichols and May, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, Henny Youngman, Katie Lee, and from the cast of Saturday Night Live. So without any further ado, because it's a long show, let's get started now with the marvelous comedy of Peter Cook and Dudley Moore.
Come in. Hello, Roger.
Hello, Dr. Braintree.
Hello. Come in.
I'm sorry I'm late.
That's quite all right. Yes. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Would you like to sit down or would you prefer to lie?
I'll sit, thank you.
Right, well, sit right down. Now, tell me, how are you in yourself?
Well, I'm really feeling rather in the pink.
Oh, this is terrific.
Yes. It's funny, really. You know, if anybody had told me that talking to psychiatrists would have helped me at all, I'd have laughed in their faces, you know. But I can honestly say that our little chats together have really been a tremendous benefit to me.
I'm so glad, Roger. Of course, a lot of people are instinctively very suspicious of psychiatry, and possibly, you know, with reason, but it can help in times.
Well, I really think it can, because, you know, I've got so much more self-confidence now.
Yes.
I'm much less self-conscious in the company of the opposite sex, which I wasn't, as you know.
You're less inhibited, are you?
I should say.
Good, this is terrific.
And the wonderful thing is, really, about it all, I'm in love.
Well, this is wonderful news, Roger. You're in love with a woman?
Yes.
Oh, so much. So much the better. That's terrific.
You know, it's so wonderful to be in love. I can't tell you the absolute joy I have.
Well, love is a wonderful thing. I've been there myself. It's a wonderful thing.
I mean, she's this girl, this creature, this goddess.
Yes.
She's so, you know, it's so right. Everything
yes.
is so
yes.
wonderful.
Yes, 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 yes. You really click together.
Yes. Oh, it's so marvelous. But the only trouble is that apart from this wonderful, light-hearted love that I have, I seem to be saddled with this tremendous, burning sense of guilt.
You have guilt as well as love. Well, this is unfortunate, Roger. You know, sex is the most natural, healthy thing in the world. There's no reason at all to have any guilt about it. I mean, why would you have guilt about sex? It's a lovely, beautiful thing, Roger.
Well, it's not really as simple as that. You know, it's rather difficult to explain. I don't really know where to start.
Well, begin at the beginning. That's always the best place. What's the girl's name?
Stephanie.
Stephanie, that's a lovely name, isn't it? Well, it's my wife's name, in fact, isn't it?
Yes. It's Stephanie.
Yes, it's Stephanie.
No, it's Stephanie.
Yes, it's Stephanie, Roger.
Yes, it's Stephanie. It's your wife.
Oh, you're
Stephanie.
In love with my wife, Stephanie.
Yes.
Well, this is a perfectly understandable thing, Roger. She's a very attractive woman. I married her myself. I don't see why you should feel upset about that.
But she's in love with me.
Well, this again is perfectly understandable, Roger. I mean, you're a perfectly attractive human being, as I've told you over the last few weeks. There's nothing repulsive about you, is there? There's no reason why a highly sexed woman such as Stephanie shouldn't fall in love with you. And I must explain to you, Roger, that I'm a very busy man. I have many, many patients to see. I see rather less of my wife, perhaps, than I should. And I think it's very understandable that she should seek some sort of companionship outside the marriage. I don't think that's unreasonable
at all. But she's not seeking anything outside marriage, Dr. Braintree, and nor am I. We want to get married.
Well, this again, I think, is perfectly understandable. After all, you're two young people in love. You want to manifest your love feelings within the confines of a bourgeois society through marriage. I think this is very appropriate.
The other thing is, you see, I should feel so grateful to you for what you've done for me, and all I can feel is this burning jealousy. I can't bear the thought of you touching her.
Well, of course you can't. I can understand it. One is tremendously possessive about someone one loves. One is tremendously possessive. It would be unhealthy not to have this jealousy reaction, Roger.
But don't you see, I hate you for
it. Of course you
hate
me,
Roger. I hate you for being so near her.
Yes, of course you hate me, Roger. You love to hate the one who loves the one you hate to love to love. This is a very old rule, Roger. There's nothing to feel ashamed about. He's absolutely reasonable.
Don't you understand? I want to kill you.
Of course you want to kill me, because by killing me, Roger, you eradicate the one you hate. This is a perfectly natural reaction, Roger.
You're so reasonable, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You understand it all so much. You're so logical.
Yes, I am. It's my
job,
Roger.
I'm going to have to kill you now.
Roger, this is a little inconvenient, because I have another patient at 6:30, and then there's somebody else at 7 after that. I wonder if you could make it sometime next week. Could you make it early in the week, sir?
When do you think?
How are you fixed on Wednesday morning, say at 9:30? Would that be convenient?
Yes, that's perfect.
Right, well, if you could pop along at 9:30 and kill me then.
Once again, Dr. Braintree, I'm amazed, you know, really. I'm so grateful to you for, you know, showing me the way.
It's what I'm here for, Roger.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And with a bit of luck, this should be the last time you need to visit me.
Shrinker man, put me straight if you can. Free me of my ticks and twitches. Disconnect my latent switches, shrinker man. Shrinker man, wise me up if you can. Air my problems and excuse me. Sympathize and unconfuse me, shrinker man. I've been on one of those complex tours. I want you to make my problems yours. Now give me one of them cut-rate cures, shrinker man. Shrinker man, set me right if you can. Align me, tune me, normalize me. Clean me up and simonize me, shrinker man. Shrinker man.
Man goes to a psychiatrist and nobody talks to me. He says, next.
Good afternoon, Miss Bloom.
Hello, Doctor. Oh, I'm so anxious today. I really am. I had the most incredible night.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I can't tolerate it.
Tell me about it.
Oh, the most depressing thoughts. A feeling of such doom, Doctor. Such loss.
Yeah.
It's as though I've lost something. I'm not sure what. Something that was very close to me and that I'm like grieving. I don't even know for what.
Tell me about it. Sorry. Tell me about it.
There's this feeling of despair as though...
When did you... Did it start last night?
Yes. Almost about an hour after I left you, suddenly I was making dinner and so I just...
Oh, it was after you left here?
Yes. I didn't even care about anything. Remember, we were working out my feelings toward my father and...
Yes.
And my anger at him.
Oh, I do remember very well.
And, of course, there was a feeling... It might help if you just held your breath.
Thank you. Go on.
And there was a feeling... I don't know. I was ashamed when I left here. I'm not sure what I was ashamed of. Did it work?
I think so, yeah. But you were ashamed, yes.
And I'm not sure what I was ashamed of. You have to hold it longer.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure what I was ashamed of. Then as I went home, I remembered an incident that happened, strange incident. Mm-hmm. My father had been sick a great deal of the time when I was a child.
Yes, you mentioned that.
And we'd taken care of my mother had and I had. And one day he was feeling very ill, and my mother, of course, had to work. Do you have any water?
Yeah, I'll try some more.
My mother, of course, had to work, and she supported us. And my father was very sick, and he asked me if I'd stay home and take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to. I wanted to go out and play. And he, you know, if you held your breath while you drank it and sip it very slowly.
All right, I'll try that. Yeah.
And, oh, where was I? Anyway, I wanted to go out and play. And my father was, don't take such big swallows. Mm. And my father, I was very sulky to him.
Yeah.
And he told me he was very sick, and I...
How long had he been sick?
Oh, he'd been sick for about 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
He was an ill man. Mm-hmm. When I went out and when I came back, there was an ambulance. Did you choke on the water?
It's all right. Go on. There was an ambulance.
Easy to swallow the wrong way.
Yeah.
And he had gotten very sick, and they were taking him to the hospital. And when my mother was very angry, and she asked, my father hadn't told her that I'd gone out and play. He had told her that I'd gone out for him on an errand. He lied
on an errand,
for me.
Yes.
And
yes.
I felt so guilty. You know what I mean?
You feel guilty now, don't you?
Do you have a paper bag in the office?
Yeah, I'm going to try that. Go on, tell me about guilty.
Nothing, it's just obviously felt so guilty. No, you know, sick as he was, he lied for me. I just, it kept that memory for years, but buried it somewhere, and I remembered it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I saw how pale.
Yesterday, what brought it up? What brought it up yesterday?
I was going to tell you, didn't work, huh?
No.
I saw how pale Ben looked, and I.
Terribly sorry.
And it's all right. And I.
He was pale yesterday.
Yes.
Ben?
And suddenly, for some reason or other, I wanted to go somewhere. Doctor.
Yeah. Well, that may have done it.
I think maybe.
Wait a minute.
Did you have my fingers crossed?
Yes, I think so.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Well, you really tried your best, Miss Bloom.
I really did. I failed, but I tried.
Well, I'm afraid your hour is up.
Oh, all right, Doctor. I'm awfully sorry. I couldn't do what I had.
Not at all. Not at all. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
It must be something psychological. It may be something very physical that makes me feel the way I do whenever I'm in touch with you. I think it's something strange and mystical. It might be something very chemical. What is this force between us two that makes me gravitate to you? I know you're not my ego ideal. You're unlike my father or brother. But the way I feel does not become a sister, a pal, or a mother. Still, it must be something psychological. It may be something very physical that makes me feel the way I do whenever I'm in touch with you. It's something psychological. Not my ego ideal, you're unlike my father or brother. But the way I feel does not become a sister, a pal, or a mother. My yearning's really quite explainable. I want you 'cause you're unattainable. Let me get my hands on you, and then I want somebody new. With me it's psychological.
Another fellow goes to a psychiatrist. He says, you're crazy. He says, I want a second opinion. You're ugly, too.
Vienna, April 12th, 1908. In the quaint old house at number 19 Bergestrasse, Dr. Sigmund Freud has been making bold advances in the treatment of mental illness through a new technique involving the interpretation of dreams. Now, for the first time, he is about to practice his new method on a member of his own family, his daughter, Anna, later to become a brilliant analyst in her own right. Little does he know he is on the threshold of revealing the secrets of the human mind by fathering modern psychoanalysis.
Hello, Anna. How did you sleep, Liebchen?
Oh, I slept very well, Papa. You know, I had the strangest dream, though. I dreamt about a man who looked just like you. He had a beard just like yours, and he was old enough to be my father. I couldn't figure it out. And then he was sitting on your bed, Papa, along with all my male cousins, and they were all bound and gagged except for one arm. And everybody was bare naked. Uh-huh. And they had bowls of fruit in their lap, you know? Uh-huh. And everybody kept offering me a banana. I was not hungry for a banana, though, you know? Except when the man with the beard offered me the biggest and ripest banana. Oh, Papa, that was the only banana I ate. The bed turned into a train, Papa, and it went through a tunnel. And we came out of the tunnel, and then I fell, and I fell, and I fell, and the man with the beard fell, and fell, and fell, and then we both smoked a cigarette. Papa, what did that dream mean?
It doesn't mean anything, Anna. It's only a dream. Sometimes a banana is just a banana. Anna?
Thank you, Sonia. Would you send in the next patient, please?
This way, Mr. Weatherskill.
Thank you. Ah, Mr. Weatherskill, come in 5 guineas. Sit down 10 guineas. How are you, 15 guineas?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, you may be physically very well, but obviously you've got some sort of a problem. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come to see me.
Yes, true enough. Yes.
Good. Well, I'd like you to be very open, very frank with me. Treat me as if I was your eldest friend.
Yes. Well, in that case, I'll get straight down to it. I've been married for 7 years.
7 years, really? Oh, dear. Yes, it's a terribly dangerous period, isn't it? Yes. 7 years. Yes. Did you see that wonderful motion picture? What was it called? The 7-year marriage bug, was it?
7-year itch?
7-year itch. What wonderful entertainment it was about a basically very tragic subject.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Basically very tragic, basically, but most amusing. Yes.
Yes, I loved it. Well, this is the thing. You see, I've been married for 7 years.
Yes.
And I've got a wife and two lovely children.
A wife and two lovely children. Do you mind if I take notes during the
not at all,
conversation? It'd be a great aid to me. Wife and two lovely children. Yes.
The thing is, for the last 4 years, I've been having an affair with my secretary, Jane.
You've been having an affair for 4 years with your secretary, Jane, and you're married to this woman...
Mary.
You're married to this woman, Mary, and you've been having an affair with Jane. Yes, I understand.
Yes. Well, the thing is, you see, she's a very attractive girl, my secretary.
Jane.
Yes.
Very attractive girl.
In fact, I've got a photograph of her.
Have you got a photograph? Yes. I'd love to see that if you have it. Oh, my goodness me. Yes, she's a very attractive girl, Jane. Yes. I can understand any able-bodied man having an affair with this. Yes. She's a delicious piece of crumpet, I think the modern slang is. Superbly well proportioned. Yes.
But the thing is, you see, what is difficult to explain is that my wife is equally as attractive, and I'm head over heels in love with her.
With your wife, yes.
Yes, and this is the awful thing, you see.
I wonder if you have a photograph of your wife I could see. Would that be possible?
You want to see a photograph of my
wife? I'd love to see a picture of your wife, yes.
Well, if it's absolutely necessary.
Yes, well, it would help me a great deal to see a picture of your wife and compare it.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I see. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And this is your secretary, Jane.
That's my secretary, Jane.
And this is your wife, Mary. Yes. This one is Jane, and this one is your wife. Mr. Weatherskill, I couldn't help noticing that when I showed you the picture of your wife, Mary, you emitted what can only be described as a spontaneous scream.
Yes, you see, this is the awful thing, but every time I see my wife, I scream. I don't know what it is. It's something that just gets
something
over me.
Involuntary. You scream
yes.
whenever you see your wife.
Yes.
And this, I imagine, to a certain extent, is undermining the marriage relationship.
To a large extent, I mean, I can only say things to her from another room, you see. Really?
Yes, this is to stopping you getting terribly close.
It is, yes.
And you want to bring this affair with your secretary, Jane, to an end and get on to a firm marital basis with your wife, Mary.
Yes, I wish you wouldn't do that.
I'm sorry, I'll keep her to myself in future. Right, well, I don't see why this shouldn't be done. One method, of course, would be deep psychoanalysis, delving deep into your past to discover the subconscious reasons why you scream when you see your wife.
Yes.
For example, it might be possible that when you were a child in a pram, a thrush may have popped into the pram and pecked you on the cheek, causing you to scream. And you might subconsciously associate the thrush with your wife, Mary. Has she got a very long nose?
No, it's not very sharp. She hasn't any feathers, doesn't eat worms.
It was purely an example, Mr. Weatherskill. But this is a very lengthy process, 75 guineas. So I would suggest a somewhat more radical way of rooting this problem out. And in particular, I would suggest a course of aversion therapy.
Aversion therapy. What does that entail?
Well, it entails this. It's a process which I pioneered myself in the United States of America with great success. I had particular success with a famous cowboy film star. Do you remember him, Roy Mix?
Oh, yes, yes.
Roy Mix.
What a performer.
He was in a terrible state, you see, because he had a wife and two lovely children like yourself. But unfortunately, on the set, he had become infatuated with his horse, Trigger. He'd become madly infatuated with his horse. It was a magnificent animal.
A wonderful beast.
A magnificent animal, and he was living in the stables with Trigger.
Yes.
And he came to me wanting to get back to his wife, but unable to because of this infatuation. And I prescribed a course of aversion therapy. And the method was this. I flashed up a picture of his horse, Trigger, on the screen, and then I hit him round the head with a cricket bat. And then I flashed up a picture of his wife on the screen and gave him some strawberry yogurt, to which Tom, like so many of the Hollywood greats, was addicted.
Yes.
And very rapidly he began to associate pain with his horse, Trigger.
The cricket bat, yes.
The cricket bat, precisely. Yes. And pleasure with his wife.
Strawberry yogurt.
Yes. Yes. And very soon he went right off his horse and back onto his wife. The only trouble was it rather marred his screen career because the public weren't quite ready for the sight of Roy Mix careering round the prairie on his wife's shoulders, you see. Made it a little tricky for him, but I think a happy marriage is worth so much more than all the glitter and gloss and tinsel of show business.
Oh, certainly, yes.
We just turn the chair round like that, you see, and then I'll feed these two pictures of your wife and your secretary into the slide machine. And now, all I'm going to do here, don't be alarmed, is to plug you in.
Yes.
There you are, nicely plugged in. Now, let me explain.
Yes.
When I flash a picture of your secretary up on the screen, you will sensate, or rather feel, I use the word sensate advisedly wrongly indeed, you'll feel a mild electric shock. Nothing fatal, but nevertheless, it seems to amuse you.
It does.
A mild electric shock. And you will begin to associate pain with your secretary, Jane. In fact, I'd like you to say the words, pain, Jane.
Pain with Jane on the main, mainly.
Precisely, yes. Completely wrong. Yes. Well, are you ready for a picture? Are you ready for a picture of your secretary? Here comes your secretary. And come along, Jane. There we are. And...
Ah! Ooh!
That's right. Pain with Jane. Pain with Jane. And here comes Jane again.
Ah!
Oh! Ah! Right. Yes. Right. I think that's... probably enough of Jane.
Yes.
Now I'd like to put up a few pictures of your wife, Mary, on the screen, and I'd like you to associate her with pleasure. And I was wondering if any of these particular comestibles appeal to you, the sort of chalk ices and lollies and things like that.
Well, I'm very partial to Turkish delight.
Turkish delight, right. Whenever I flash a picture of your wife up on the screen, I'll give you a little bit of Turkish delight as a reward. Yes. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here comes your wife. Up on the screen, think of the pleasure as your wife comes up on the screen and nudge into that lovely Turkish delight. And now here comes Jane again, pain, pain, pain with Jane. And now here comes Mary again, your lovely wife here, and tuck into that lovely Turkish delight. Oh, what pleasure, 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 pleasure. Well, I think there's probably enough treatment for the first week. I think after about 6 weeks, you should be well on the way to a cure. It's delicious, isn't it?
It's delicious. But is it the point? The point is...
The point is that you're spluttering, Mr. Wetherspoon.
It's got so much powder on it.
Yes.
When do I start screaming at my secretary?
It may mean that you'll start screaming at your secretary, but I don't think that really matters. I mean, that's what secretaries are there for.
Sonia!
If you'd fix up an appointment for Mr. Wetherskill at the same time next week, would you do that? Thank you very much. Very nice to meet you. I'm so glad the treatment has gone so well, and that will be 175 guineas. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. It really is very good. One could become addicted to this stuff, you know.
Go to sleep, my little one. You're passing through a stage not at all uncommon at your age. These are traumatic days in oh so many ways. Each new taboo comes to you as a shock. But rest secure in your little crib. Oh, rest secure, forget each little block. 'Cause Daddy is reading Freud and Gazelle, while Mommy reads Adler and Spock. Hush, little sibling, don't you cry. You'll be adjusted by and by. I recognize that fretful look. Mommy's gonna try another book. Hush, little sibling, don't you cry. You'll be adjusted by and by. Hush, little sibling, close your eyes. Mommy will have you analyzed. Daddy found something very new. We're gonna try it out on you. Hush, little sibling, close your eyes. Mommy will have you analyzed. Hush, little sibling, don't you cry. You'll be adjusted by and by. You're not returning to the womb. We've bought a mobile for your room. Hush, little sibling, don't you cry. Ooh, you'll be adjusted by and by.
Well, we got to get out of here because the show's running late. Briefly, you heard from Mike Nichols and Elaine May, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, Henny Youngman, Katie Lee, and the cast of Saturday Night Live. Next week, we'll be listening to Peter Sellers, and that's about it. So until then, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.